Zigzag and One, a place where we honestly discuss how to embrace the zigs and the zags in our crazy lives. Running away is not an option. Living in defeat is not an option. Instead, learning how to keep moving forward is what we'll do together, one nugget of wisdom at a time. Your host is Melanie Brown. She's navigated a few zigs and zags in her life with the determination to never give up. Expect great stories and lots of laughs. Are you ready? Let's do it.
Hello, friends. I am super excited you are joining me today for this episode of the Zigzag in One podcast. I'm your host, Melanie Brown. I love books, and I especially love finding books with messages that are life-changing. My guest today, Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, is the author of the book Sacred Rest. Y'all, this book, as maybe over-exaggerating as it may sound, really has changed my life. You'll hear in our discussion how her book has helped me find rest, which has helped me with my ongoing struggle with fatigue. And for me, that is a huge deal. Dr. Sandra recently stepped away from her medical practice so she could focus on writing and her speaking ministries. She's been married to her husband, Bobby, for about 20 years, and they have two sons. She has run some half marathons in the past, but their goal to celebrate their 20th anniversary is to run a marathon together. And she shared with me that she's both excited and nervous about jumping from 13 miles to a little over 26. I'm pretty sure she can handle it. Because Sacred Rest is a must-have book, in my opinion, please make sure you listen to the outro at the end of the show so that you can find out how you can be put in a drawing to win a copy of Dr. Sandra's book. Please join me for my conversation with Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. I am super excited to spend time today with my guest, Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith. Here's the thing, guys. I went to a writer's conference last summer, and she was teaching a class, and she started talking about her book, Sacred Rest. I ordered it while I was sitting there listening to her talk because I have struggled for years with fatigue, and I just needed relief. I took the rest quiz, and I learned that I just needed rest. So when I got the book, I didn't just read it. I devoured it. I put sticky notes everywhere. I underlined because there was so much valuable information about my fatigue, about rest, about sleep. And I knew I could not keep this information to myself. So I invited her and she's with us today. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sandra.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Before I read your book, I did take the time to do the rest quiz. And wow, it revealed so much and it was so spot on. It was like you were in my head. It was crazy. I have for so long blamed my neurological fatigue for the constant brain fog and lack of energy that I had. And I know that that's partly responsible, but what the rest quiz and your book revealed was that I was partly responsible too, because I was not getting rest, specifically mental rest, creative rest. Those were my two areas that I learned. And once I started doing what you said to do, I started feeling better. I started having more energy and I was better able to focus. So wow, your stuff really, really works.
Well, I love hearing that. I think because, you know, oftentimes when we think about rest, we're always thinking about, well, it's not really going to make that big of a difference if I just ignore it or I just put it off to whenever I have time. And just like you said, you feel better when you're not depleted. And I think for many of us, we've spent our lives tired for so long, we actually don't know what it feels like to be well rested. We don't know how good we could feel if we just focus our attention on getting the rest we need.
Amen and amen to that. What I learned was, is that I didn't really need more sleep. I needed more rest. And I had for so long lumped those two things together. They just were interchangeable to me. And those long naps that I was taking during the day, they weren't helping because I had gotten enough sleep during the night. And I would love for you to talk about the difference between sleep and rest.
I think that's where most of us have a problem because we associate them to be the same thing. We say them interchangeably. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go take a rest. The problem with that is that sleep is really just one of the seven types. It's a type of physical rest. Mm-hmm. And so when you're just trying to use sleep to fix your fatigue, sleep, that's not going to fix a deficit in one of the other six areas. It's almost like ignoring the other six areas, and you're just going to try to put all of your eggs in this one physical rest basket. And I think that's what most people are experiencing. They go to bed at night, they get what they feel to be a decent night's sleep, and then they wake up and they're still tired. They're still exhausted. That gets to feel very hopeless, because if that's the only type of rest you know and it's not working, now what?
And you are 100% right about that. I was feeling defeated. I was feeling hopeless because I kept thinking you should just get more rest. And I was taking naps that were literally hour and a half, 2 hours, and I would wake up and I would still feel exhausted. And I just, what you said in your book about the different types of rest just resonated with me, because I had really honestly never considered anything other than physical rest. So if you would talk about the seven different types and why we need those seven different types.
Sure. So I'll name them first. The three that most people are very familiar with are the physical, mental, and spiritual. And then the four that are less common are the emotional, social, sensory, and creative. And it's those four that most people tend to have at least one of them have a deficit in, because they don't look at it as rest. So they never try to replete it. They never try to restore those areas. And so they just stay at a level of chronic depletion.
Well, I will tell you, the physical rest, of course, is what I really thought that I was experiencing, and I probably was. But the mental, because my mind never shuts off. And I needed rest from that, because I have a problem with always wanting to do things, whether it's reading or looking at something on the internet or listening to a podcast. My mind always has to be going. And so I needed time to just rest from that information influx that I was just so hungry for. And then the creative rest with me writing and speaking and podcasting. And I love anything art, whether it's music or art in general. I am always doing either something mental or something creative. And I was just running myself ragged, and I didn't even know it until you pointed it out.
That's what I think. You know, with high achievers, people who get stuff done, who are able to set a goal and accomplish it, high achievers can work off of very little rest, and they get used to just feeling kind of chronically tired because they're so used to what it feels like to having done the work. And I think that's what it gets a little dangerous. I think that's honestly why I burned out. I have a very similar personality. I don't have a problem with work.
Yeah, me either.
With rest. I don't have a problem with work. I can work and work and work, but what I find is if I keep working without times of rest, I then start resenting the work. The work loses its joy. Yes. I start grinding the work out rather than being in a place of just really fruitfulness. It's not fruitful because I'm kind of giving it out of a bad attitude at times. So I think that's what I really had to understand, because I can work without resting, but the work loses its joy. And then I lose my ability to really want to even continue to do the work.
Well, and then it doesn't have a great impact of what you're doing. All that work you're doing is has a result and an end product, but mm-hmm. you've lost your joy, and possibly the person receiving or benefiting from your work might not have gotten the same joy out of it that you hoped that they got, because you're just worn out.
Yeah, you're not coming from a good place. You're kind of pouring out of your overwhelm rather than pouring out of your overflow. And that feels different. It doesn't hit people the same way. You know, they're getting something either way. You're pouring either way, but you're not pouring from your best self.
Talk for just a minute about the different types of rest. I know you listed them, but if you could mm-hmm. just give us a little snapshot of them, because I want the listeners to see what I learned and to go to that restquiz.com, because they need to know what it is that I benefited from once I learned about those different types of rest, because you convicted me that that was going to make a big difference in my life. And you were right, because it did. Because when I go to the botanical gardens and I spend hours there just wandering, looking at all that beautiful nature, I come home ready to write, ready to just do something creative because I have rested. So talk about the seven different types and give a little snapshot for me.
Well, you gave a great description and image right there of creative rest. Creative rest is the rest we receive when we allow the beauty around us to awaken and inspire something inside of us. Yes. And so that could be man-made beauty or nature. So it can be, some people feel this when they go to the beach or bodies of water, others around flowers or the mountains or in the woods. It's just kind of wherever you see beauty and allow it to do something inside of you. Not that you're trying to create in the moment, but you're letting that moment create in you.
I just drink in. That's what I do when I go to the mm-hmm. botanical garden or in nature, as you say, because that's my happy place. I just drink it in and I get full, and then I come home and I have so much that I want to pour out.
Well, that's the thing. I think so many people, when they think about creative rest, they think, well, I probably don't have a creative rest deficit because I'm not an author or I'm not a singer or something like that. But, you know, I find that a lot of the people who have creative rest deficits aren't necessarily creatives. They're people who are innovative. They're the teachers who are having to think about, how do I come up with a creative lesson plan that this student who's an auditory learner and this one that's a visual learner can both learn in this 35 minutes I have with them? Or it's the homeschooling mom trying to figure out how to keep their kids engaged, or it's the business owner who's trying to be innovative and, you know, at the top of their game, thinking up new ideas. So that creative rest is required in a lot of different ways, because many of us need creativity within the work that we do. And then go ahead.
I want to know about the other ones. Talk about the physical rest and the spiritual rest.
Yes.
And the others.
So the physical rest is comes in two different types. I think that's important to start with. You have the passive, which is what you mentioned with napping and sleeping. And then the part that many people don't get are the active type of physical rest, which are those things that restore your energy and your blood flow and circulation, that keeps your muscles relaxed. So those are things like massage, leisure walks, stretching, those types of things. Then you have spiritual rest. Spiritual rest specifically has to do with the rest we receive when we focus on relationship over religion. Sometimes people will tell me their spiritual rest is they do Bible study or they do devotions. And that's excellent spiritual exercises to do and spiritual edifying activities to do. But it's not the same as just being quiet and in the presence of God. And I think that that's a part that we have to start thinking about. Spiritual rest may include prayer, but it's the part of prayer where you shut up and he talks. Mm-hmm. And I think we need to spend some time in that realm of spirituality with God, because it's a lot easier sometimes for you to give him his list than it is to listen to what he's saying, that the next steps are that you may need to do. Emotional rest is the rest that we receive when we allow ourselves to be very authentic and real. It's when the masks come off. It's when you're no longer feeling the need to people please or to have a level of pretense or inauthenticity. Usually that's combined with some level of social rest, which are the people. that you are doing this with, the people that are life-giving, that help you to feel accepted and loved, versus those people who are pulling from you because they're either your clients or your customers or your kids, the people that need things from you that are kind of pulling that social energy. We need to have those people who are the opposite of that, who don't need anything from us, but are pouring back into our lives.
I need some social rest right now. I am so desperate for my buddies, my peeps. I just need some time with them. I think we all do in this pandemic and social.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because right now, most of our, really all of our time probably are with those people that need things from us. We're with our spouses and our kids, and it's the people that we care for. So we're pouring out into their lives. And, you know, many of us have gotten to the point where we're kind of tired, we're drained from having poured out so many days with the same people without having the opportunity to really get around those people that fill us back up. I think that's why it's important sometimes to have Zoom meetups now where it's not a business meeting or it's not something official, but it's just, I'm going to get with my friend and we're just going to enjoy each other's company with no agenda.
I love that. I need that.
I always call it virtual coffee dates. A virtual coffee date and just hang out with each other for a moment.
Yeah.
Sensory rest, I think, is one we haven't covered yet. And it is the rest of really removing some of the external stimuli that we're so consumed with, the electronics, the bright lights, computer screens, noise, you know, making sure that we're allowing our time, our senses to have a time where they're not being utilized. Silence, you know, keeping the rooms dark at some point during the day, particularly at night if you're trying to sleep, just having some times when your senses aren't being actively used.
Well, I need some of that too, because I participated in a 3-day virtual writers conference recently, and it was all day on Zoom. Mm-hmm. And my brain was overloaded. My mental was overloaded with all of the great information. But I realized how much my head kind of hurt because I had been so focused on technology for almost 8 hours straight, 3 days in a row.
Yeah.
And for the day after all that was over, I didn't touch my computer at all because I needed some sensory rest.
It is. It's overloading. And, you know, we see it in kids quicker than we do in ourselves. But, you know, if you have a teenager, you've probably seen this. I have two teen boys and they love video games like most teens do.
Yes.
There's a period of time where it goes from, oh, they're laughing and they're having fun, to they're like shouting about to rip the screen off the wall. And I know that's because they've gotten sensory overloaded. It's like, it's too much. It's really the same thing we see like in a 2-year-old when it's their birthday party. And, you know, they're great and they're happy and they're having fun and they're playing with the balloons and the clowns. And then all of a sudden, they like, it's like a complete change. They're screaming their head off. They're crying. They're miserable. That's what sensory overload looks like. And for adults, we've got much better control of our emotions, so we don't go into full temper tantrum mode. Many of us just get mean.
Snippy.
We're just not nice people anymore when we get sensory overloaded. And I find that there's so many people that when they started recognizing this, you know, that maybe it's not such a good idea to leave my very noisy, busy, active, you know, office space, hop in my car, listen to talk radio about politics on the way home and expect to walk in the door and be able to be loving to my family. Maybe I should just drive home in silence and let my head clear a little bit and my senses calm down so that I can actually walk in the door with a better attitude.
Now, I do love my music when I'm in the car, but you're right. If you can take that leap of faith and turn off the radio in the car and just decompress, It is amazing. I have done that more often in the last few months and really kind of look forward to that. As much as I look forward to singing in the car, I also have been looking forward to that silent time because I do feel it decompresses me. And by the time I get home or to wherever I'm going, I'm in a much better mental place.
And it really just depends on where you're depleted at during that day. You know, really rest, when we're looking at it, we should look at rest as equaling restoration in one of the 7 areas. So There are times that you may need the creative rest of singing in the car, more so than you need the sensory rest of the silence. And I think it's really necessary to be very aware and intentional about what type of rest do I need. I always tell my patients, what kind of tired are you? Because not every tired is the same. And just really kind of focus on what kind of tired. And I think the last one I don't believe we mentioned was mental rest. And mental rest is really being able to clear just your cerebral space. Not having active thoughts jumping around in your mind constantly nonstop, to be able to get your mind to actually quiet down and to just get to, I always look at it like you're looking at a pond. If you throw a pebble in, many of our mental spaces are like that. It's just ripples and ripples of information coming and coming and coming. And at some point you need the water to just be still. And so we need our head to be able to do the same thing.
I need that one desperately. There's ripples all the time for me. One of the things that I loved about your book was that you didn't just talk about the rest and what each of those were. The second half of the book was talking about the gifts and how each of those areas, you gave strategies and they were very practical. And they talked about how we have gifts when we rest. Mm-hmm. So if you would talk about a few of those types of gifts that we experience when we do what you say and rest.
Well, yeah, the one I think that I emphasize really is boundaries, the gift of boundaries. I think that is why so many of us fight with rest. We have very poor personal boundaries. And so when you start deciding that you're going to rest in certain areas, it really does require you to start erecting some personal boundaries. What is a priority to me? What is not a priority to me? What are my core values? What is it I want to truly accomplish in life? It's not always about checking off the goals and the to-do list. What is it I truly want to accomplish? And so I think that's one of the first gifts. A few of the other ones I talk about, including the gift of reflection and the gift of communication. You know, the gift of reflection, when we stop and take time to rest, it really gives us an opportunity to look back on what's happened in our lives and how we get to where we're at and what can change or what may need to change. And it opens up an opportunity for communication, particularly with the emotional and social types of rest. You get these chances to maybe say things you wouldn't have normally said. And I love that because, you know, when you're resting, most of us think about rest as this kind of withdrawal or kind of cessation of activity, like we're giving up something. Mm-hmm. And I love that really there's a whole lot of things we actually get during the resting that we may never get any other way.
And that's what I loved about that second half of the book, because you talk about those two things and many others. And mm-hmm. it was very convincing to me. It was almost a great sales call in a sense of you told me where the areas were that I was needing rest. And then, excuse me, you talked about what I was going to gain when I actually did rest. And that part sold me for sure. That part
was thought about it like that.
and I'm not a sales kind of girl. Like that's not something that usually draws me in. But from a teacher standpoint, you told me where I was lacking and you told me what I was gonna gain. Mm-hmm. And I was convinced. And I'm telling you honestly, those things really did make a huge impact in my fatigue. Yes, I still take a nap about every 2 or 3 days. Because I need that physical rest in addition to what I'm getting at night. But the other types of rest, when I started practicing them, really did make a big difference. So let's talk about that rest quiz, because not only was the book something when I was at that writer's conference, something that convinced me that I needed your book, but also that rest quiz, once I started taking it, I think it took me about 10 minutes. It was a bunch of questions. At first, it felt a little overwhelming, but then once I got the results back, it was worth the time for sure, and it was very revealing. So tell me how you get to the rest quiz and tell me kind of what went into it and why it's so fine-tuned to tell us where we need to rest.
Yes, well, the quiz is at restquiz.com, and it is. It takes, I always tell people 5 to 10 minutes, really just depending on how quick you go through and click the buttons. But what I wanted to do with that is try to make certain that the answer, the results people got were accurate. And I'm a researcher. So it's one of those things where there has to, because there's 7 types of rest, there has to be enough questions that I can segment it out. You know what I mean? Because yes. If I just have a few questions, then my segments are not going to be very specific. And so the more questions I could add, the more segmented I could actually, you know, get the scores so that one would be higher and, you know, you would actually have a good dynamic of the scores. And I remember when I, you know, first got the initial questions together and we were test piloting all of that, my husband was like, this is a lot of questions for tired people. I'm like, yes, but if they come to me at the doctor's office, 10 to 15 minutes is not that big of a deal. Some of them wait an hour to see a doctor.
That's right.
I'm like, it's 10, you know, 5 to 10 minutes or so, 15 if you're really like overthinking all the questions. But at the end of it, it's like a doctor's appointment. You get an assessment on what your scores were, and you're able to then really fine tune where you're putting your attention. Because for many of us, we are tired because we're putting our attention in the wrong area. And if you keep doing that, you're just going to stay tired.
That was me.
Over 100,000 people have found their way there. So at least 100,000 people were tired enough to want to process through and really get to the core of their issues.
Well, it's fabulous. Kudos to you for doing all of that research and making something that is so valuable to the people that take it. Your website.
I love that. I think for most people, when they finish the quiz, you know, the results come immediately. You know, it's not something that they're having to wait a long period of time. They come immediately. And so I find it, you know, interesting that a lot of times people are like, now I get why she asked that question. Mm-hmm. Because the questions are very deceiving. You wouldn't necessarily know which one goes with which type of rest. Some of them are pretty obvious, like the ones related to sleep and physical are pretty obvious. Yeah. But the ones that are pulling out the difference between emotional versus sensory versus creative can be very tricky for most people. And so when they answer them honestly, they can see, wow, I can see why that question was asked.
Well, it's fabulous. Part of what you get when you get that information is you get on your email list, mm-hmm. and you share all kinds of incredible resources through emails. And that took me to your website, ichoosemybestlife.com. And mm-hmm. wow, you have loaded that thing up with all kinds of resources, links to your podcast, your other books. You've written other books besides Sacred Rest. Mm-hmm. And I encourage you listeners to make sure that you go check out ichoosemybestlife.com. It's time for us to end. And I'm sad because I could talk to you about this for hours. But let's talk about what your one takeaway is, the thing that you want the listeners to remember about your episode.
Well, the main thing is just really to focus in on which of the 7 types of rest that they are most efficient in. Visit restquiz.com, take the assessment, get your results, and then rather than feeling overwhelmed because there's 7 types of rest, determine which one you're really deficient in, and then focus your attention on getting that type of rest. That's when you notice the quickest benefit. That's when you start feeling better faster because you're actually pouring back into the area of your greatest deficit.
Amen. I'm telling you, what you have shared and what you are doing has been life-changing for me. I haven't gotten rid of my fatigue, but I feel so much better because I understand what it means to rest, mm-hmm. and I am practicing those things. And so thank you so much for joining us today. It has just been fabulous to talk to you in person and to learn even more about what your ministry is about and the kind of the behind the scenes, what you did in order to get to the finished copy of your book.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure chatting with you.
So make sure to check out the show notes for links to Dr. Sandra's websites, her books, the podcast. And when life zigs and zags, and you know it will, remember what Dr. Sandra says, to discover the type of rest that you need, and then to focus your attention on that type of rest.
Okay, I know. It's obvious how much of a fan I am about this message of practicing rest. It's kind of like you don't know what you don't know until you try it. Years ago, I didn't know the benefits of drinking water. I was a Diet Coke-aholic and finally made the decision to drop the Diet Coke and drink the water. And it convinced me. And now I drink water all the time and I know the benefits of it. Same principle here. I believe that once you really try this practice of rest and experience the benefits, you will see how powerful this practice is. And you'll join me in saying, I wish I would have made these changes sooner in my life. If you're skeptical, I urge you to take the rest quiz at restquiz.com. When you receive the results about your depleted areas like I did, I believe that information will resonate in you. You'll agree those areas need focus rest. And when you put it into practice, you will see the benefits and you will experience restoration. I want to give one of you a copy of Dr. Sondra's book. Here's how you get your name in the drawing. Go to melaniebrown.com and subscribe. Not only does this put you in the drawing, but you will receive a free 7-day devotional, and you'll be notified every time I publish new and valuable content like this one. Thank you for listening, friends. Don't forget to share this episode with your friends. Until next time, keep moving forward.